Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Greg's got the greatest attitude in the world. Greg left on Friday morning to go to L.A. Do you know why he went to L.A.? Because his son was playing in a high school championship hockey game for the state of California. Playing in Staples Center.
Really?
Not playing.
The rink outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Playing in Staples Center.
Awesome.
They won 1-0. His kid had the goal.
Oh.
His kid had the goal.
Take that, New York Times
reviewer. Right.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. It is miserable out. It's a terrible morning in Washington, D.C., with cold, bad rain that's going to yield to a worse morning tomorrow with snow.
Happy spring.
Yes, and spring starts at 12:15 today, officially. We're live at Chatter, where amazingly some people have come out for breakfast.
Brave for the weather.
Amazingly, we're very proud of that. We're open for breakfast starting at 7 in the morning, 5 days a week, at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Washington, D.C.
It's a great place to shelter in place from the storms.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We had Liz Clark is here, and Gary Braun is here, and Michael Kornheiser is here, and Nigel will run the board, and we will have Pat Forty on later. Nigel will also do news. And yesterday, we were consumed with the NCAAs, and today we're not. Nothing really happened of consequence last night that I feel the need to talk about, so we're going to branch out. I have a whole bunch of things to read, and I will get to all of those, but the first on the docket is the notion that I'm watching the weather, because it is, of course, a snow alert day. It's not supposed to be too terrible today, but getting progressively degraded and worse as you hit nightfall in Washington, D.C. And then by tomorrow, they say an accumulation from 3 to as many as 6 inches inside the district line. 6 inches. But of a wet variety that these meteorologists who get their degrees online from Walmart tell you will just accumulate in grassy areas. I'm sorry, 6 inches of snow does not say, whoa, let's fall over there on the grass, and let's not fall on the sidewalk, and let's not fall on the driveway, and God forbid we should fall on the street. Because we're not supposed to, because Chuck Bell said we're not supposed to. This makes no sense to me.
So there is like a, isn't there some radiant heat theory? The sun, it's now later in the year, the sun's a little stronger, so those asphalt areas.
Well, it's not going to be any sun.
Well, theoretically, the sun is there like today. You just don't see it.
Maybe this theory, maybe that's a Trayon White.
I don't know, but I love when you crush the meteorologist, because last time, and I don't think I was on in the wake of this, I didn't get to talk to you about it.
It's a snow bomb.
But it nearly broke Twitter. Everyone talking about you ranting that all these meteorologists do is they learn to read the model.
That's right.
And then they go on there and give you the forecast. A lot of people pointed out, yeah, that's how the job works. You learn how to do it, and then you do it. You know, says the guy who goes on and rants about sports.
But they're all given the same information. They just jazz it up.
This is true.
That's all they do.
I said the same thing. I just did this.
Is it conceivable to you that 6 inches of snow could accumulate only on
your
lawn?
No part of that sentence is conceivable. The 6 inches, I don't buy. I don't even buy 2 inches, period. And no, I don't believe it would sort of self-select where it's falling.
That's what I think.
But I do get the point that streets kind of hold warm air, that it might be a little warmer, but I don't believe there's a 6-inch swing.
Do you think you're going to be able to go from your lawn, which has 6 inches of snow, to your sidewalk where you go, whoa, it's great, I don't have to shovel. There's no snow.
No chance of that.
Michael,
but Liz is a firm believer this will be an underperformer. She's on the record 1 to 2 inches.
No, you're wrong this time.
Yes. I believe this.
No, there's so many Liz's.
You believe this.
So I think if we get 6+ inches of snow.
Not 6+. That's going to Winchester. It's,
let's say 4+.
No, in the northwest areas.
That's a Sheehan move. He wants to hit his models.
It could shift towards us.
Well, then I'm going. I'll be in the Mayflower tonight.
It's been raining for the last 2 to 3 hours. It's going to rain through this entire day. So the first hours of this event are going to start during the evening commute. You're still going to have that rain transitioning to liquid precip when it hits the ground. So maybe at the end of the event, you might get a slushy inch at that. But I think the ground holds temps in ways that you can't really conceive.
Let me just tell you this. Who's not going to want to go out with a dog tomorrow? The answer is me.
I don't want to go out today.
I went out this morning in the rain, and the slushy stuff's worse. So we are of different minds as to how much snow will accumulate and where it will accumulate. Now,
should we have a
status of tomorrow's show? What's current status of tomorrow's show?
Indefinite. I cannot promise we're going to do a show tomorrow.
I'll pick you up.
Absolutely not. I have no idea if we're going to get here to do it. If I can get here, I'll do it. But I don't. Well, if I'm at the Mayflower, I'm not going
to
do it.
This would give you a great opportunity. I know you've been waiting for it all winter to use those cross-country skis to get here.
Yeah. Well, if it's such wet, slushy snow, I'll only go 2 feet before I end up stuck in the wet, slushy snow.
Stick to the grassy areas.
Now let us attack old UPS, the University of Penn State. Let's attack old UPS. Michael, explain the UPS dilemma that we're in. And let's preface this by saying that UPS is in the delivery business. This is what they do.
Logistics.
They deliver mail and packages. Logistics. That's their job. Word. You know what they don't do? They don't cook pizza. All right? They're not meteorologists.
If they did, you'd be going
hungry. Don't do any of these things. They simply deliver stuff, Michael.
Dear customer, we are unable to deliver this package because suite number needed, not delivered. Your shipment will be held at the above address until a date provided. So I believe a listener has sent something to Dr. Tony Kornheiser at the address provided for Chatter.
This is
Chatter is a business. There are people here to receive packages pretty much at all hours of the day.
There are big signs outside that
big
say
signs.
Chatter.
Well, hang on. They delivered the postcard.
Correct.
Why can't we get a package?
Apparently there is an issue with UPS versus other delivery systems. I know this because I was sending a gift to our management team from
That's
our
right.
friends at Johnny O.
Yes.
And I have been on the phone with UPS to try and update the suite address. So I know that we are suite one. And I am getting a message from them saying that UPS tried to deliver. And they are lying because
the sign says Chatter.
They claim that the recipient refused to accept package because they did not request or order package.
UPS is
lying. There's no chance.
Correct. You're lying.
I think they
put on
they
your
know,
brown shorts backwards. You're
they
lying.
They know that they have a loophole. If there's no suite number, they don't have to deliver.
Well, there's no suite number at my house.
Just clarifying.
This is a co-op, so there is a suite number or a unit.
Yeah, because you all share the same street address.
There's a sign. There are four signs that say Chatter. Mm-hmm. It's
now,
not
Michael,
that hard.
Michael said the suite number is one. Technically, that's accurate. But if you are sending something to Tony, you probably want to put the percent sign after the one just to make sure that it'll get directly.
So we think they're lying. We're tired of them.
No. But I did get on the phone, and you have to say, like, are you trying to find your, you know, track a package? Check on it on an update. And you start screaming.
Representative.
I used to just press 0000 until someone picks up.
That doesn't
now
work
I just do it. Representative. I'm on speakerphone as Goosey's crawling around at my feet just laughing at me.
All right. Aww. Now, this is for Liz Clark. Liz, we're not going to do any sports in the beginning. We'll do the sports later. This is for Liz Clark. Liz Clark.
Sports. A letter?
Who thinks that my privilege is a crime against humanity and takes this position all the time. Laughs at me. She's going to love this. All right? Dear Mr. Kornheiser, please accept our gifts and tribute to the esteemed for-profit establishment known as Chatter. We are a new sales distributor company called BAM Brands USA, and we sell BU, an affordable luxury makeup cosmetic brand from Germany. Our products can be purchased on Amazon, Target, Wegmans, and now our BU BAM Brands USA site. Thank you for your podcast, Tony, and can you please stop the hammering? So,
wow.
This is a heavy package.
Liz Clark.
You never get chick gifts.
We do now. Here, just give Liz all these.
Lady gifts, Liz.
Give Liz these things and take some. Okay, take some for Kim.
We were
going
to figure out what they were. It's heavy because it includes their BU catalog. Maybe we'll leave.
Dear Dr. Tony, enclosed, please find an authentic Alaska trapper's hat. Well, not so authentic since it's made from alpaca. The design is authentic, as is the muskrat trim. I won it in a dog mushing race. My big head, acquired when I recently completed my PhD, won't fit into the hat. So I gift it to you for the prize closet. Enjoy.
Nice.
Scott Jerome, Fairbanks, Alaska. We thought we were in spring, but we're going to need a muskrat.
That's actually a very nice muskrat trim. And you wonder if he juiced his dogs. You have to do that to win those races these days, right?
Apparently.
Yes. Dear Dr. Mr. Orange Grandpa, I'd like to invite you to the forthcoming nuptials with a person I'll soon be related by marriage. We have plenty of Costco wine of both the red and white varieties for your enjoyment. We're not having kids at the wedding, but we would make an exception if Michael wanted to bring Bootsy. Seattle is a very dog-friendly town. You're welcome to bring Chessie as well. And this is from Jeff Leeson and Samantha Gish. Their wedding is June 10th. It's going to be in Seattle. We're happy for them,
Lovely.
Of course. Here are a few Monopoly tickets for your dad. This was sent to Michael. I picked them up while on vacation.
Don't
open
my mail.
California.
I actually did. I'm sorry. It was addressed to Tony.
I enjoy the show when Wilbon gets chesty about Northwestern because this is Pat Ryan, who's the director of development of alumni relations and development. So we have that.
So how update us on the Monopoly?
I haven't won.
Well, you have to be one square away on everything.
On
everything. Right?
Okay. But, and hopefully some of these things coming from the West
Need
Coast.
Some of these
help.
Money squares.
From Mike Barnes and Pate Hogan, P-A-T-E. Dear Dr. Hoff, please accept these tribute items from Mike Barnes and Pate Hogan to Laura Littles from New Madrid, Missouri. Enclosed for the prize closet, a shot glass, koozie, shirt, pamphlet, all saluting the great New Madrid earthquake of 1811 and 1812. These series of quakes were felt over two-thirds of the United States, from New Orleans to Boston to Montana. Also, the official apron from the Memphis and May World Championship Barbecue Contest from Michael to where we're barbecuing for the family, and an official Memphis and May poster. So that's very, very nice. We appreciate that. And finally, from John Tracy Mamo and Evangeline Rossetti, who are sitting right here, like you, I'm a Long Island transplant from Lindenhurst. I've been reading your columns and listening to the show since I moved to D.C. in 1999. My wife, children, and I would like to share with you in the gang of Rossetti family tradition. For over 80 years, our family has been making Easter pies, also known as pizza rustica, a savory Italian Easter dish.
I believe that's rustica.
Rustica.
I believe so.
This past Friday, we made 84 pies. We share the pies with friends, neighbors, co-workers, and teachers and staffs of our kids' schools. You've now been added to the list. The pie crust containing regular and semolina flour is homemade. The pies are filled with smoked ham, prosciutto, pepperoni, mozzarella cheese, provolone cheese, basket cheese, a type of fresh ricotta available only at Easter, Parmesan cheese, eggs, four beaten and one hard-boiled, and parsley. Easter pie is best eaten chilled or at room temperature. If you prefer to eat it warm, put a slice in the microwave for only about 5 to 10 seconds. So we've got this going for us, which is nice. We've got all these things. We're very grateful to everybody who sends things.
Makeup update, Liz.
How's the makeup update?
I'm so busy looking
what
at
what sorts
the,
of things
I'm
are
thinking,
they?
So I'm thinking
looks like
that
one of
I really...
Snyder gave me a sky bar last
no,
night.
No, I must no. share, oh, share with boss. Jeannie and Tori because
okay.
there's a lot.
Okay.
And, there's
and,
a lot here.
And I got this the other
now,
day.
Now, how can you have... I mean, the notion of affordable luxury brands. I mean, luxury is luxury and affordable is affordable. Eh. I mean, that is, you know, that's... What is that word called? What it has...
Oxymoron?
Oxymoron.
Yeah, oxymoron. It's an oxymoron.
Might be.
We know
I received
morons.
This.
This
just
is
thinking
so
of a paradox.
Exciting. Just paradox. Like not Johnny Walker Blue and golf balls, all the things you get there.
That's
I
what
don't
you want.
Want.
That's yeah. what you want.
This
that's
is
makeup.
Probably yeah. more what I need.
So a little drop this off for me the other day. This is from Dr. Anthony D. Eugenio, and he says, the woman I'm related to by marriage wrote this. Dear Nigel, if I read between the lines correctly, you are a Red Sox fan. Since you guys give away junk each day, I thought I would return the favor. Enclosed, please find a baseball signed by Wade Boggs during the case of beer during a flight years.
Oh, yeah, they drank
nice.
700 beers on a cross-country flight,
right.
Wade Boggs.
If I'm wrong, give it to Kelleher. You are not wrong. I am a Red Sox fan.
Yes,
this is,
that's good.
This is very prized.
That's
possessed.
Very
Speaking
great.
Of the legend
Thank
of Wade you. Boggs, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but you know, there's that LeBron story that Winhurst wrote yesterday That's in it. Which he it talks about, well, it's basically about his fitness regime and the mm-hmm. guy he works with and what he does to stay in shape.
To work
but,
with Brady's
But he
guy?
Recounts the story when, and I forget the year, but it was early in his career, maybe his first finals because he was heavy at the time, where LeBron
Who was
reportedly...
Who Winhurst or LeBron?
Winhurst. LeBron. Okay. LeBron. Where LeBron allegedly gained 7 pounds during a conference finals game. Started the game at 271, ended at 278.
How's that possible?
It's like Wade Boggs drinking 100 beers. Yeah. I think it's the stuff legend is made
Speaking
of.
Speaking of LeBron, I will Not do one sports story. The Cleveland Cavaliers got Kevin Love back last night, and that's why they won, and also because LeBron is the best player in the world, and he had 40 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. He's 6'8", he weighs 250. He's so great, and he gets assists. And so the Greek Freak is quoted after the game, because they beat Milwaukee, he's the first player to get 40 on me that easily. He's the best in the world, that's it. They don't have Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue has stepped away for some indeterminate amount of time that is said to be a small amount of time because he's having chest pains and he can't sleep, you know, and he's not healthy. And maybe this job is too much for him. That's possible. Or maybe he'll get back and he'll be fine. Steve Kerr has gone through this for different reasons, but Steve Kerr got back to the bench and the Warriors won. And everyone talks about, well, what does this mean for the team? Here's what it means for the team. It means nothing. It means nothing. The Cleveland Cavaliers did not win despite David Blatt, and they did not win because of Ty Lue. LeBron James is the coach of the team. LeBron James on the floor and in the huddles coaches the team. and he's the best player, and he's the best player of the world. And now that they have Kevin Love back, they're a far, far superior team than the team that Kevin Love was not playing for. That's what, I mean, we all wish Ty Lue the best.
Of course.
But it's not, it's LeBron James. It's LeBron James who matters 100% of the time for Cleveland, right? That's it.
Right. I would agree. That's Kevin Love looked very good in limited minutes. LeBron James, by the way, also part of
18 points in 25 minutes.
Just getting back to the Windhurst story, part of it was LeBron is on his way to his first 82-game season.
Yeah.
And it was about how LeBron is ostensibly in some of the best shape in his life. Apparently, he without much fanfare and without talking much about it, was facing serious back injuries some years ago when he got hooked up with this guy. And is now, as evidenced by that ridiculous dunk a week ago. I mean, some of the stats that we're citing here is like how many dunks per year.
Teams are afraid of players who leave the organization to get medical treatment. This is the entire notion of what's wrong with the New England Patriots.
It reminds me of the Brady thing.
Tom Brady's 41, and if this guy is a witch doctor, it doesn't matter because he gets him ready to play. But the Patriots don't want anybody else to use this guy because they think he's a witch doctor.
Right.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers are sponsored in part by the Cleveland Clinic, a medical facility. And they don't want their players using – they're going to make an exception for LeBron because he's their bread and butter.
This guy has been brought into the Cavs' fold more so than the Brady fella.
Because wouldn't you want somebody who made your players
better? It's probably worth keeping LeBron happy, right?
And extend your investment.
You know, that would seem to me that's a smart thing.
Yeah, so they're way better than they're seeded, obviously. Yeah. And that's why the Wizards will end up playing them in a 5-4 or something.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Pat Forty will review the tournament for us. And also bring us up to date on his daughter, who's apparently collecting gold medals all over the place in the recent NCAA swim championships. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Right, this is a new era. We've never done this before. I'm looking at this copy for the
Get
first
time. Get
your popcorn
time. Ready.
This Very is exciting. Movement Sunglasses, and it starts out, spring is right around the corner. No, spring's here today.
Theoretically.
And it's going to snow all day and all night. Spring is right around the corner, and Movement is dropping all new sunglasses to get you ready for the warmer weather. We got our go-to shades for it all. The guys at Movement don't just make great watches. They also make awesome sunglasses and just released a ton of new styles. And then there's Thought Starters, where they tell you to be conversational and make this your own. This is like a Simon Cowell thing, or Randy Jackson. he made it his own, dog.
Come on, dog.
Here's my problem with sunglasses. I got all these cheap pairs that look terrible, but every time I buy a $200 pair, I feel like I got ripped off. Actually, in my case, I buy $200 pairs because I think they're good. Right, so I don't want to have this conflict with Movement because I like Movement. I think they're very good. But I also don't want to lie about this. I think it's fabulous that Movement is in the sunglass business. I think it's great. I will happily endorse them if they send us a couple of pairs just so we can see what they're like. We've been endorsing the atomic sunglasses.
Well, endorsing. I mean, we've been talking about
the tactical
sunglasses. I wouldn't call it an endorsement.
What's that guy's name? Tanto Esperanto, that guy endorses.
Right.
We're going to move off that.
Yes.
We're going to move off that for high-quality premium acetate frames. No cheap plastic here. You've got to see these. They've got lots of styles to choose from. Classic, trendy, round, aviator, mirrored.
Yeah, like so you can pearls at the beach.
For him and for her, you're sure to find the perfect pair. You get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to Movement, which is MVMT. By going to MVMT.com/Tony. You know Movement for how they've revolutionized the watch industry. Now is the time to check out their sunglasses. Go to MVMT.com/Tony and join the movement.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Ah, Jabo's time.
This is Jabo's time.
Yes.
How good of you to
recognize
this it. This is Jim Viner and the incredible B3 Band. This is one of Gary's favorites. You have this on your
car.
Big
fan of these guys. You know, you can hear all these songs at the end of the podcast. We play them in their entirety.
We do, so you can send us music. Yes. And later on in the show, we'll tell you exactly where you can send the music. And we'll tell
I'm
you
all
about,
out of sorts.
We'll tell you all about the Johnny Oko, Dr. Hop. Just Hoff-Woff. Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports joins us now. The most important thing Forty can talk about, as far as I'm concerned, is his daughter and how she did. How did Stanford do in the NCAA championships, and how did young Miss Forty do in the NCAA championships?
Wait, Tony, this in, they've just won another medal.
Yeah, is that right? How did she do?
Thank you for teeing me up for this. They did great. They won the NCAA championship by a huge margin. They set a record for most events won. They broke several American records. She was on the winning 800 freestyle relay. She came in fourth in the 400 individual medley and became just the ninth American woman to ever break 4 minutes in that.
Wow, congrats.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. So she got a bunch of medals.
She did.
Right. Are the Stanford women, are they like the UConn women in basketball? Are they just untouchable and nobody can beat them ever?
Yeah, they've become that way just in the last couple of years. They won last year in dominant fashion. They won this year in dominant fashion. Unless things go badly wrong, that should kind of be the norm for the next couple of years at least. I don't want to put too much pressure on the coach, Greg Meehan, but he's building a monster.
So, I don't want to put too much pressure in your household, but your daughter is at the age, I mean, traditionally when I was growing up, swimmers were done in their early 20s, because there was no, you know, there's no way to make money. They were really amateur athletes. But there's an Olympics, the Summer Olympics in 2 years. And is your daughter, is she Olympic quality? Is she that good?
Well, she'll be in the mix. We'll see. I mean, it's so hard to do, Tony. They take two people in each event.
Right.
And you can be
and one of them is named Katie Ledecky. So that's...
Well, yeah, if you swim the same things as Katie, then, your chances are cut in half.
Right, right.
And she doesn't for the most part. But, it's tough. It's very tough. You can be the third best 400 IMer in America and be, one of the top five or so in the world, but doesn't mean you're going to the Olympics.
But if she were to go, she could maybe get on a relay or something like that.
It's possible. She could. She was on there, like I said, their 800 freestyle relay. She might have a chance in that because you do take more for that. She'll have to get faster. She'll have to get better, but she's at the best place to train for it. I mean, they'll have many Olympians again in 2020. We'll see if she's one of them. I don't know. I just hope she's healthy and happy and swimming well by then.
That's all wonderful. At what point is she going to say to you, get out of here, old man, leave me alone? That is the...
I've outfamed you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm more famous than you are. Leave me alone. What have you got
to
say?
Just leave the checkbook at the door.
Yeah. So that happens to all of us. We know how that... All right, let's go into the tournament. Everybody's brackets are crushed, mine more than anybody's. What if you looked at the first 2 days... And you had to write the headline for the first 2 days. What is the single biggest headline on the first 2 days, in your opinion?
History-making disaster for the overall number one seed. That's the biggest thing. It's part of an incredibly chaotic overall weekend. But that's, unprecedented. Not just for a number one seed to ever lose, but for the overall number one seed to lose, and to lose by 20 points to a team that wasn't even the best in its own conference, in the America East Conference.
Which is my conference. That's Binghamton. This is a low-level D1 conference. That there were the two most astonishing games to me were that UMBC in the second half just drilled the University of Virginia, which didn't look like they wanted to be out there at all. And that Texas A&M, the University of Johnny Manziel, did the same thing to North Carolina in the first half. Like, Pat, they were up close to 20 in the first half against North Carolina, the defending national champions playing in their home state. That was, you look at that and you go, wow, how did that happen, right?
Yeah, that was astonishing as well. Although, there's probably three NBA caliber guys on Texas A&M's team, and this was a team a lot of people came into the season saying top 10, top 15, and then they just had a psycho season. They were good, they were bad, they were good, they were bad. They never seemed to put it together. But when they were good, they were very good, and man, were they good against North Carolina. But that was a bad performance by North Carolina. I thought Tom Izzo and Roy Williams really did not coach well on Sunday, which is surprising from two of the best coaches in the history of the game. Absolutely were the shocking, games to watch unfold. Like I said, the Virginia game, you couldn't believe. And that's my problem with the Bennett thing. It's not so much, we're going to be defense first and we're going to be slow and that sort of thing, but they're so rigid that when things go bad, they just completely lose it. I just don't think there's too much pressure there or too much system rigidity
Yes. And yes.
It's like, you know, okay, somebody, you know, a deer drives in front of your car. You don't just hit the thing. You change. You do something, right? And they just don't seem to adjust.
No. Somebody told me yesterday that they had talked to a coach or a scout, and what the scout said about Virginia and why Virginia was not going to win the national championship, where, by the way, I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
He said they have no plan B. They don't have it. This is all, that's what you're saying, Pat, right? They only play one way. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and even if it's a struggle, it begins to be a struggle. You can just almost see like the sprockets and the wheels start, you know, misfiring, and the system just goes off the rails. And that's, look, everybody likes Tony Bennett, and everybody agrees he's a very good coach, but the ability to handle you know, adversity in March, the ability to have a plan B to keep everybody calm, to do something different, needs to be there, because things don't always go your way, even if you're the overall number one seed playing a number 16.
Do you have an explanation or a bunch of theories or anything for the fact that 9 of the top 16 teams didn't make it to the second weekend, and a 10th, Michigan, should have been out? That's the most miracle shot of the entire tournament. They should be out. That would be 10 of 16. Do you have something that will explain that for me?
Well, Tony, I mean, I thought that this was that season all along, really. You know, I kept writing, you can't trust any team. If you, it's almost impossible to even pick a national champion, because nobody has given you the trustworthiness. They're going to win 6 straight games. If you look, the number of losses everybody took, other than Virginia. Virginia had 2 losses, but everybody else was at least 4, a lot of 5, 6, 7, North Carolina.
9.
People were thinking they should, people thought they should get a number one seed. They had 9 losses. So I just think this was an incredibly fragile group at the top to begin with. And so, you know, if it was that way all season, then sure, why shouldn't it be that way at tournament time as well?
See, I don't want to go crazy about this, because as you look around, there are 2 11s still in it, Loyola of Chicago and Syracuse. Everybody else is 9 or lower, which makes them in the top 36 in the country. And if you have a year, Pat, where you think that you could go 20 to 25 deep, then going 36 deep is not cataclysmic. I mean, all of these teams are relatively competent, right?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. That it doesn't mean that, that we've got a bunch of schmoes still playing.
That's right.
I mean,
we don't.
Nevada was a really good team all year. Florida State, talented. Texas A&M, as we said, talented. Loyola, I love Loyola all season. And as you know, I picked them to the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
I watched them play several times. You know, they were 28-5 going into the tournament, so I really like them. Syracuse, this is just a you know, the Boeheim zombie effect of the zone, man. Or, you know, however he does it, it's crazy, because boy are they bad offensively. But they're long and they play the zone, and if you can get the other team to lose its mind, which they have done, then you've got a chance to win.
Yeah, but they have no chance against Duke, because Duke sees the zone, and in fact, Krzyzewski and Boeheim are the best of friends. There's no chance they beat Duke, right?
Yeah, and Duke even plays some of the zone now, too, having been colleagues with Boeheim during the NBA
Olympics.
Times, or, I mean, the USA basketball times. So,
I mean,
they beat him by 16 during the regular season. I would be surprised if this one is close. But I was surprised that Michigan State was not only close, but then ultimately lost.
Do we make anything at all, or is it just coincidental that the two schools, Arizona and Michigan State, that were under the most scrutiny for off-the-field activities, both of those schools went out very early?
It could be part and parcel of it. It really could. I mean, you know, they were playing with a lot on their shoulders for a long time. And I think it somewhat dissipated for Michigan State late. But Arizona, you know, it was there right up to the Pac-12 tournament. And boy, did they! I mean, they
were great.
But man, oh man, when they got to the NCAA tournament, and it was another thing game where when it went wrong, it went way wrong, and like they either panicked or quit, one of the two. I'm not sure which. And I will say, you know, I've been calling this the Ball Don't Lie tournament, the Karmic Justice tournament. Every school now that has been was mentioned
they're
in
out.
The initial federal complaint
they're
is out.
Out. They're all out. They're all out. So we're not going to blame the seeding committee for this stuff, right? I wouldn't. I mean, the seeds seem reasonable to me. So
yeah, I had less problem probably with the overall makeup of the tournament than usual this year. I didn't think it was terrible, other than a couple of schools got in that I don't think should have, and a couple were left out. But I don't think this is one where you say, oh, the committee seeded their way into a problem here.
Oh, Oklahoma and Syracuse should not have been in it. And Syracuse is now 3-0.
Well, Syracuse always justifies that decision.
They do. They win. Yeah. One of the coolest little statistics that I've heard is that with the play-in games, mm-hmm. one of the four teams that wins one wins two.
Wow.
All four have never been shut out. And Syracuse has now won
three.
Well,
in the case of Syracuse, couldn't you argue it has to do with the difficulty preparing for
100%.
Them, and you've got no time to do it 100%, in those first two games?
100%. Yeah. All right, Pat, who do you like now? If you reset all of it, what would you
Kentucky?
Do?
Kentucky?
Well, I mean, Kentucky has a historically easy path. That's
yes,
cool.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Wasn't Cal complaining about it?
Yeah.
At the jump?
He does every year. He says the NCAA screws.
Oh, no. We had Cal on the show yesterday, and he was explaining why the four teams left in his division are all the Golden
Look,
State
we've
Warriors.
Had a 12, a 13, and 8. Add them up. It's more than anyone. That's not fair.
He can't possibly win two more games, is what he was saying. So
how can a guy with four NBA first-round picks possibly beat Kansas State and then Loyola?
So who do you like?
Yeah. Well, my original championship game remains intact.
Wow.
Against Michigan. Boy, I mean, as you said, Michigan, I don't think, has played terribly well. I think they've regressed since the Big Ten tournament. Villanova looks great. Mm-hmm. I think Duke looks great. I mean, I watched both those teams in Pittsburgh and was dazzled by both of them. I think those two are playing the best. You know, I think I'll stick with Villanova and Michigan, though, since I put it on paper last week.
All right, Pat, thank you so very much, and congratulations again on your daughter.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklyn and Ad. I have this stuff. This is good. I mean, this is...
It's the what ad?
Brooklinen. Brooklinen. Brooklinen.
Oh, gotcha.
I have it. It's good. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, the best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine. Help you feel more rested, well-rested every single day. They're founded in April of 2014 by Vicky and Rich Fullop. Their philosophy was the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials without crazy prices. No unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up, which I didn't know, as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. There are categories for everything. If there's a category for best online bedding, there are categories for everything. They have versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets you can get. And there's an exclusive offer just for listeners of this high-quality podcast. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyK at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code TonyK at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN. .com, promo code Tony K. Brooklyn and the best sheets ever.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Reg Jones, who writes, "Dear Mr. Porthauser Hoff Waff, this will be my second read on the air, but first submission of my music. This was fast-forwarded by hitting the number when I ordered my delicious Chatter Reuben on Saturday, and you walked in within 10 minutes. As much as I thought I already knew you, it was beyond an honor to actually meet you. And here's the song I promised I'd send. Thank you, Michael. We are Zway, loyal littles who have followed you since childhood through the post, and this is Alone from our Tuesday Night album. You previously played a colleague of mine and his band, Thalibo. I hope I get that right. We're now co-workers and often referenced in the city and planning a group crashing of the old guy's old bar very soon. Love to all, especially Spike and his dad.
Thank you, Rich.
And death to a group of people that he's talking about, which I will not mention, saving him. Michael, as Gary mentioned earlier, we play music in its entirety at the end of the podcast. And if people want to submit it, how do they do it?
Send your original music into the show at jingles@tonycornizershow.com.
So let me tell you what we're selling, okay? Because we're selling Chatter t-shirts in-house for $12.
It's a great deal.
We're selling, in honor of the rain and the snow, we're selling Tell Michael It's Raining or Snowing umbrellas.
Yes.
Ooh, we can't promise a snowing umbrella.
Right, but Tell Michael It's Raining.
Hashtag
Tell
Michael.
We're also selling winter hats because winter has come back.
You'll need it.
So how do people get those?
Go to shop.tonycornizershow.com, and our TK Shop manager, I believe, is back from spring break, ready to answer all your questions.
That's good.
And we also have our Hoff Waff code from
yes,
Johnny
we do.
O. So if you
Johnny
send
O stuff is beautiful stuff, and you're going to get a discount, and you just go to Hoff
Waff. Which we should point out because many of the listeners are not that bright. That's H-O-F-W-O-F.
Hall of Fame, Wall of Fame,
right,
baby.
Right. But so if you want to send a gift to a family friend, maybe show support for the great work that they're doing at a restaurant, I hope you have a better experience.
With UPS.
With UPS and the shipping of your gift.
That's just nonsense.
Sweet one.
Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And we'll get the sports out of the way. People for the last several years have been figuring out how to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Easy.
Well, this is the solution. Just make sure that Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green
they're
aren't playing.
And then you got a chance.
They're all out. Draymond Green went out last night with something that was called a pelvic contusion. That cannot be good.
No.
A pelvic contusion.
Says he took a knee to the upper groin while defending a drive to the basket by Danny Green.
They can't win any games.
Let me say, with all that, the Spurs needed to double them up in the fourth quarter to beat them.
These are four all-stars. They're gone. They're all out.
Yes.
They're not just out for a day, I don't think. I think, like, Curry's got this bad ankle. Thompson has a broken thumb. Durant has a broken rib.
Yeah.
You know, I just... Okay.
Broken thumb can't be good for basketball.
No, for a shooter? No.
They say that Curry's targeting his return versus the Hawks, but I'm not sure exactly when that game is. I would imagine that.
Before the playoffs.
Friday. Yeah. So, there you go.
Because the Hawks aren't in the playoffs.
But now we need to dive into the stories that are really important to us today. And this, in a surprise to all of us here in studio... A self-driving Uber has struck and killed a pedestrian in Tempe, Arizona last Sunday night.
With Virginia plates?
I'm not sure.
Look, how big is the lawsuit on this?
Well,
why do people think this is a good idea, self-driving cars?
So assuming no one other than Nigel has read beyond the headline... There was a person in the car. It was a man self-driving vehicle with a person in the car in case of emergency. Now
in the driver's seat. I mean,
I don't know where they sit.
Okay, sorry.
It's behind the wheel.
How did that person?
They are
let
not
this happen?
Controlling the car. Initial reports suggest that this pedestrian, it was a woman, I think, walking with her bicycle, stepped into traffic, and the person who was manning the car, not driving it, essentially said it was a flash. I didn't know we had hit them until we hit them. There was like no seeing it coming.
So no excuse.
Now there'll be, I'm sure, a full report. Everyone else, I saw the headline and thought, well, of course. What did you think was going to happen? It's really sad.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And it is an example of the march of technology that is just going a little too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time they put one of these cars out there in California, didn't it hit a bus immediately?
Hit a bus. Yes.
Like within 5 minutes, it hit a bus.
Now, Tony, the counter argument is that every auto accident that happens presently happens because of human error. And the goal is to remove
just have vehicle error.
Computer error.
Yeah.
Right.
That's poor logic.
Yeah,
millions of dollars worth of a loss.
They have suspended the driverless program.
Really?
Yes.
Stunning.
Yes, to take a look at it a little further.
A day late.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not yet ready. If I'm trying to hail a cab and there's no driver, I'm not taking it.
Yeah,
I don't think there's ever a point in your lifetime that you will be ready
to get into an automobile without a driver.
No,
I just don't think they should test these things in a setting where people are at all. I mean, it's like having a bridge stress test while cars are going under it.
In Miami, there's some degrees of stupidity that are unfathomable.
The tragedy of that is just
terrible.
Yeah. We'll go more locally now. D.C. council member.
What's the deal with this guy?
Trayon White Sr., a council member from Ward 8, on Friday, when we got a few light flurries on Friday, posted a video, I believe, to the Facebook And it said, man, it just started snowing out of nowhere this morning, man. Y'all better pay attention to this climate control. Man, this climate manipulation. We are, and DC keep talking about, we are a resilient city. And that's a model based off the Rothschilds controlling the climate to create natural disasters they can pay for to own the cities, man. Be careful. Now, I was unaware of this Rothschilds,
yeah, that's the
conspiracy.
Great anti-Semitic conspiracy.
Buzzword.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It. That's the big one.
So he was chastised for that, and a lot of people, you know, just rose up and said, what are you talking about, man? So he's like, I'm really sorry. You know, there's a lot of dialogue going on, and we're going to have some programs. Well, you know, I'll get better, and I've got Jewish people who support me. Yeah. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
So then it turns out that was not the only time
he
spoke about that.
He did it in front of the mayor.
Yeah, on February 27, the gathering of top city officials, including the mayor, he said, there's this whole concept with the Rothschilds control the World Bank, as we all know. As we all know.
As we all know.
Throws that in there.
As we all know. Infusing
dollars, you know, a lot of people don't know that.
We all know it.
Infusing dollars into major cities. They really pretty much control the federal government and how they have this concept called resilient cities, in which they're using the money and influence into local cities. How does this influence this? Because it's really about infrastructure and climate control. What does this have to do with UDC? Have they put money into UDC? What's the relationship between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers? And apparently, Bowser sort of had this puzzled look on his face as this was going on.
As anybody would.
Yes.
As anybody would with an elected official who is appearing to be, if he believes these things, an utter bozo.
Yes.
This is like when, you know, everybody will tell you, Kyrie Irving, he's just kidding when he says the earth is flat. What if he's not kidding?
Right.
What if he believes the Earth is flat, even though you can see pictures of the Earth from space, mm-hmm. and the Earth is not flat on any level? What if he believes that? Is it Jordan Clarkson, who was traded recently from the Lakers to Cleveland? He was quoted as saying the other day, because I read this, that he believes dinosaurs were pets of very large people who populated the Earth. Okay. Dinosaurs were their dogs. The very large people who populated the Earth had them as pets. So someone said to Jordan Clarkson,
shut up.
Well, where are their bones? And he went, oh. Yeah, because it's stupid. He's a bozo. This guy, Trayon White, he's a bozo if he believes this. If people could control the climate, they would control the climate.
But there's a bozo and an anti-Semitic bozo. They're different calibers
of bozos. Well, you need a
villain. Yeah, well, he maybe didn't even understand that.
You remember, I think he was from...
You would control the climate if you could. You'd
Georgia,
make it better for everybody.
A nice dry heat.
Congressman Hank Johnson, several years ago, if you never saw this, it was like during some congressional testimony where he was talking to someone about about what we're doing, what our military is doing in Guam, and he had concerns that the island was going to capsize because of all of the military equipment on it. Do you remember this?
No,
it was on like C-SPAN, his line of questioning, and he was talking to some general or something, said, you know, are you concerned at some point? Guam's a small island and it could tip from all
stuff,
the activity.
Yeah,
you're like, this dude is a cut. Yeah, I'll show you at the break. I'll YouTube it.
So you can't have this. No, some people are willing to say, okay, you know, he's apologized and everything is going to get better. But at least the mayor came out and the mayor's aide and said, this is unacceptable.
Yes, it is.
You can't be saying this stuff. You can't be thinking this stuff. What are you doing
Ain't
here?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
There's
what are you doing?
Four voting members of the District of Columbia in this studio right now. None of us live in Ward 8, but I would certainly like to see this guy maybe just step aside and say,
because people can get better.
All
people can learn from their mistakes. People can do that. But like Carl Racine, is he the attorney general for the district? I think he is.
I think that's right.
You know, he said these comments are unacceptable, not only because they perpetuate a history of anti-Semitism, but also because the notion of climate control is completely unsupportable by facts. Of course it is. I'm encouraged by Trayon's apology and his direct outreach to rabbis and other leaders of the district's Jewish community, and I expect that he will learn from this and use it as an opportunity to bring people together rather than divide them. But Mary Che was even... got angry. It's anti-science. It's nuts.
Yeah.
You can't.
It's
completely
nuts.
It's
like a fundamental quality of all public servants, elected officials, should be critical thinking, period.
Yes.
You know, regardless of your views.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
somebody with a bright future would be the head coach of UMBC, Ryan Odom.
Do you know his father?
Is that Dave Odom's kid?
Yeah, yeah. Dave Odom's kid.
Former Wake coach.
Coached at Wake. Yeah, yeah.
He has a contract in place right now. He signed a 2 year. So he's got 5 years left on a contract that pays him $230,000 a year.
Hello, paper shredder.
I'm not going to knock $230,000 a year because that's a great amount of money.
In that industry,
but
however.
He just beat the number one overall seed.
Yes. Now, UMBC is going to try and renegotiate with him and offer him some sort of deal, as they said.
Yeah,
we can't do what the Power Five, you know, conferences can do.
But we'll give you $265.
So, Tony, let me, I'm just free parking.
Yeah, we'll give you a spot.
I'm throwing this out there for discussion. I'm not suggesting this would be my position on Coach Odom. But is there a school of thought that's like, okay, I mean, you want a game. You know, we got 5 years left on this deal. Like, do we really... Well, I guess you do some calculation on how much money that victory is worth for the program, which I'm sure is tons,
yeah.
And what it will mean in terms of recruiting and who they get. But it's like, do you really...
It's not just recruiting. It's actually applications to the school by regular students.
Just recognition. I mean, we take it for granted here. We all know what UMBC is.
And around the country, I don't think you can evaluate. You can have that clear-headed analysis you're sort of suggesting in a vacuum because it's all about...
Well,
you know,
leverage.
How hard will other schools come at him?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're not loved until somebody loves you,
right?
And somebody is going to express their love to rather. I stole that line from Ed Tapscott. Yeah, it's his line. It's Tapscott.
The bigger get is their social media manager.
Oh,
he was good.
Yeah. So clever.
He was very, very good.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You can keep Riley Odoms for a while unless somebody wants him.
Right.
But if I'm him. I signed the new deal, but I also have an out clause.
Get it out.
Yes.
Right.
I have an out clause
which says
whenever I want.
I can get out.
I get out when I want to.
Well, I'm out tomorrow. If I want to be out tomorrow.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to alarm you, but there
snow?
Is... This is a little bit worse than snow. There is a slight chance that an asteroid the size of the Empire State Building will hit planet Earth. Now,
on the grass or the
Yes, this is a slight accumulation on the grass.
Yeah.
Now, for you, Tony,
20015?
20015 would be in play
not,
for this.
If something that big hits the Earth, I'm not sure it even matters where.
That could capsize
now,
the Earth.
Now, for you, I'm not sure you'll be in play for this. It's scheduled to possibly hit us on September 22nd, 2135.
Oh, next story.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, kids. Everyone else.
So it's Bootsy's problem.
Yeah, Bootsy will have to deal with that. There is a plan in place. NASA says we have a plan to blow up these
Blow it up. We'll just blow it up.
Yes. Just call the Rothschilds.
Yeah. And I would like to bring your attention to a story that does have a happy ending. This is about an Idaho man who was getting a puppy flown across country via Delta. It left Richmond, Virginia, and on Saturday evening and was due to fly into Boise, connecting in Detroit and Minneapolis. So probably got a nice rate on that flight with two stops.
Yeah, they don't figure the dog cares.
Right, but somehow...
They don't figure the dog's going to scream, hey, what are we doing here on the ground on this layover?
There was some kind of mix-up somewhere between Richmond and Boise. The wrong puppy was at the airport in Boise, and the owner was like, this is not my dog.
So the
dog ended up spending Saturday night in a kennel in Detroit. Sunday morning, the puppy was flown to Minneapolis, but then somehow, it was rerouted again and ended up in Las Vegas. And what little puppy doesn't want to
this
spend a couple of days in
Vegas?
This dog
has so many miles.
Then it was
this dog can get a free seat.
So the puppy was then put on a plane to Salt Lake City and finally making it to Boise to his new owner on Sunday night. The owner was very upset. He said he got the runaround.
Yeah, what?
Michael has a photo of this puppy.
Were they delivered by UPS? Oh, that's a great-looking dog.
He was given a number.
The wrong suite?
He was given a number of the boarding facility, which was a disconnected line. That's always a gay trick. Was not given a call back by a Detroit person.
Terrible.
Just said customer service failed us. Now, this comes on the heel of three incidents with United Airlines last week. The first one was very tragic, involving a dog.
So the tendency is to just sort of make fun of these things. But if you're the owner of that pet,
it's unbelievably
horrific. It's horrific.
But United flew a 10-year-old German Shepherd to Japan when it was supposed to land in Kansas.
Yes.
And then 2 days.
I don't believe we're
like
in Kansas anymore.
Right. Yeah. And then, by the way, flew him home on a private jet. So that was probably the best flight that German Shepherd had.
For that dog.
Right. And then 2 days later, United diverted a St. Louis flight bound to Akron, Ohio, when it realized the pet was loaded onto the flight.
Well, this was crazy. Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay, so the pet was on the wrong plane. The pet was supposed to go where?
To St. Louis. It was supposed to go to St. Louis
and was on a flight going somewhere else.
Right.
United, in my opinion, major PR botch job, realized, oh, no, we're sending this pet to the wrong place. We can't have another mix-up.
Right.
Diverted the flight. So everyone who was going to the original place had to be delayed while they took this pet to where it's supposed to go. Now, if I had gotten on the wrong plane,
no, you can't do that for
they would have said to me, you're going to have to... When we
That's
get,
right. That's
yes,
right.
They rerouted the whole thing. Can you imagine you're on that plane? They're like, hey,
That is an overreaction to something that happened the week before. You cannot do that. You cannot inconvenience all the passengers on the plane.
Right. The many.
No, you can't do it.
Needs of the many are...
All right, we done?
We are done.
That was great. Supersede the needs of the few.
Old Guy Radio, when we return,
I'm
Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Busted flat and bend. Old Guy Radio for the day is me and Bobby McGee, written by Rhodes Scholar Chris Christopherson, and sung here by the late Janis Joplin, who's... I mean, I would say that her career would fit the phrase meteoric.
Yes.
Just the way she dominated songs, the way she sang, just absolutely amazing. High school classmate of?
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson at Port Arthur High School in Texas. Why are we playing this?
Because it was on this date in 1971 that it hit number one in the charts.
Okay.
6 months after Janis Joplin passed away. She recorded it just a few days before she died.
I didn't know that.
And it became just the second song to reach number one after the artist had passed away. Would you care to venture a guess as to the first one?
I have no idea.
Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Of course.
Yes.
I knew that.
What about that thing that Natalie Cole did and brought her father
back
in?
Yeah.
Yes. What about that?
That's like
much later.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the category that would fall into since it's sort of a duet on that.
Category
but it was
four.
Yeah, a number of people have recorded this. Roger Miller apparently was the first one to record it, but Janis Joplin is obviously.
But you know, he was no slouch as a songwriter. Chris Christopherson, or is. Sorry, he's still alive.
Yes, he is still alive.
Yes,
he is still
quite
alive.
Quite so.
We didn't... All right, so I didn't get to talk about this yesterday. We will... Oh, so I walked in here last night, because Michael and I had a meeting last night, and I walked in here, and there was a guy at the bar whose name was Tony, who said that he had taken the train down from New York yesterday, and he brought with him Zarro's...
Seeded rye for you,
which I started giving out to people at the bar, and I took half the bag back home with me. I was very, very excited about that.
What about a black and white cookie?
He brought a black and white cookie.
Did.
It's for Saliza, he said. It was for Saliza, and Saliza is not here.
Liz and I were sitting in a booth, a foretop, below the level of the main dining room. As you were walking around table to table with an opened bag
was he wearing
of
the I'm not a perv
rye
button?
No, I was not.
And Liz was in disbelief. I can't believe he's actually handing out pieces of bread.
Why?
You were
did
going
I,
up to servers, bartenders,
did I break,
managers.
Did I break some rule?
That is so funny.
Are you not allowed to do that probably in an establishment
not,
that
probably
serves
not,
food?
Actually.
Probably
so I don't think
not.
We should even go there.
What do you think?
Knowing you, there is so much joy in your face as you are going from group to group.
Here, I want the heel. I can't get rid of the heel. Anybody want the heel?
It's like, you need butter. Get some butter for this.
Well, it's really good bread.
It is great
it's fresh,
bread.
It's fresh. It's really good bread. Yeah. The Zarro's people make
very nice of Tony to bring
they make
down.
Good bread. So I didn't tell this story the other day. I mentioned going to Greg's show, but I didn't mention what we did on Saturday night. And Saturday night, I'm not sorry, Friday night. We were there Thursday, Friday, came home Saturday. Friday night, I got to go to Alice Tully Hall, which is part of the Lincoln Center complex, which is a beautiful building. It's West 66th or 67th or something Lincoln like that, Center. In the Lincoln Center area. Walked from the hotel and went to see the screening of the first episode of the last season of The Americans.
Oh, cool.
Which is a show that I really like.
Yeah.
I really
How
like this
great.
Show on a giant screen and all of that. And there probably were 1,000 people there.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards... And
it wasn't a public event.
No.
It?
It was all,
right,
these
like
were
an invite
all
only.
Invite only from FX.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And most of them, before...
For an episode that has not aired
right.
yet.
It's going to air on Friday.
Okay, got it.
Right.
Yep.
Most of the people there, I thought, probably worked for the company because there was about 30 to 40 minutes... of talk before the screening, and they were congratulating almost everyone who ever worked on the series. The series was filmed almost exclusively in the metropolitan New York area, And I mean, they talked about, they went to the key grip and they went to the makeup and they went to the catering and everybody got applause. So I'm thinking that overwhelmingly the people who were there worked for the
cast
company.
And crew, yeah.
And I'm, you know, you know how I am about time. I'm not patient. I'm not a tolerant person about time. Have you ever noticed that,
or
Michael?
Or things. You're not patient about things, I would say.
So they were supposed to, this was supposed to go at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And now they're still talking at 8:15. And I'm saying to Carol, let's get out of here.
Need a new
let's
train.
Just get out of here. Why are we even here? I mean, enough with this. I don't like it that much. Actually, I do. I do like it that much. And she just looked at me, you know, with that look that said, God, do you never change? It gets worse. It gets worse as you get older.
Well, you were back in New York City, so it was sort of a return
How was
home.
The show?
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. But we went for a variety of reasons. I went for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons we went was that there was going to be an after party. We didn't go to the Garcia after party. There was going to be an after party at the Tavern on the Green. For those of you who are unfamiliar with New York City dining, I'm not going to tell you that Tavern on the Green has great food. That's not what it's about. Tavern on the Green is inside Central Park on the west side of Central Park between 66th and 67th Streets. And it is just, it's this oasis of dining in an enormous urban park setting of Central Park. And Carol said to me she'd never been there, which is impossible for me to believe that someone who had grown up in one of the boroughs of New York had never been to Tavern on the Green. And I often, when I worked in sports on Long Island and in New York City, they would hold all sorts of sports luncheons, media events. How many times have you been to Tavern on the Green? A million times.
Not that many, but a handful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, the setting is everything. It's the pretty little lights.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
It's absolutely
like a little
gorgeous.
Bit of Eden right there.
So we were going to, you know, be at an open bar and there's going to be some hors d'oeuvres or something like that. So definitely we're going to go. So at the beginning, the guy who is the head of PR for FX spots me and tells me how much he likes PTI and knows that I really am a big fan of The Americans, and knew I was in a cameo, the greatest cameo ever made.
Ooh, what a
and,
shot.
And so he said, well, you know, are you going over there? And he said, here, go in one of these cars. Go in one of these cars. So we get into one of the cars to drive us 5-6 blocks, whatever it is. And then an officious-looking woman with a clipboard, I think her name was Pam or Kim, I'm not exactly sure. Mercifully, I've forgotten her name, opens the door and says, who are you?
Uh-oh.
Don't you know who I am?
And I said, well, I'm Tony Kornheiser. I said, well, this isn't for you.
Oh.
This car's not for you. And I said, what's your name? And now I've forgotten her name. Just what's your name? Not just wanted to know her name because I knew I'd be talking about this. And I think it was Kim or Pam, but it doesn't really matter. And so we got out because we were thrown out of the car. Ooh. So we walked. It wasn't
Nigel
that,
Phelps type situation.
It wasn't that far to walk. Cold, windy, but 6 blocks maybe. Not that far. I didn't see that woman again, and I didn't mention it until now. And so now we're circulating around, and there's two things that I want to do if cast members are there.
Uh-huh.
And cast members, I assume, are going to be there, but I don't know. Right. There's two people I want to meet. One is Noah Emmerich.
Yes.
Noah Emmerich plays Stan, the FBI guy, the sort of, you know, half-dopey FBI guy who lives across the street from the two Russian spies, and he's in charge of tracking them down and doesn't know, as the many times that they have dinner, he doesn't know that they're spies, which is fine. And the reason I wanted to meet him was because I walked up to him and I said, my name is Tony Kornheiser. You have no idea who I am, but my friend Bill Isaacson went to your wedding.
Oh, cool.
Bill Isaacson, because he married David Boies's daughter. Oh. Noah Emmerich did, and Bill Isaacson told me about this. So when I got back, I texted Isaacson all about this, and he said, no, I didn't go to his wedding. I said, Bill, I met him, but it wasn't at his wedding. I said, Anyway, he was really excited that I knew somebody went to his wedding. This, like, pleased him, because he's, guys like that are always being, I'm not going to ask him about the show. I watch the show or anything like that. And then I found Margot Martindale.
Oh.
And Margot Martindale, I found Margot Martindale
She's
for a
fantastic.
Very specific reason. And I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, you have no idea who I am. She just looked at me as if to say, no, I don't. You know,
let's keep it that way.
Yeah. And I said, I'm coming here because we have a great mutual friend in Greg Garcia, because she was in his show, The Millers. And Greg loves her. And we talked glowingly and lovingly about Greg and the show, you know, for a couple of minutes. And then that's it for me. I'm now going to leave. I've had a couple of glasses of wine.
Perfect.
I've had a couple of hors d'oeuvres. I'm going to walk the 8 blocks back to the hotel. When over Margot Martindale's shoulder at that table, that's where Kerry Russell is seated.
Ooh. Your now old friend.
Way to Lotus sees us.
Exactly right. So I'm not going to do anything. She is in a white and black polka dot dress. I notice this, and I know it's Kerry Russell. She's in a back booth. I don't even see John Reese. Is that his name? Matthew Reese.
Yeah.
Because if I saw him, what I would have said to him is, I thought you were great in The Post, because he played Daniel Ellsberg in the movie The Post.
Yes, he did.
And I didn't see him at all. But Kerry Russell, I think, is looking at me, though it's possible she's looking at somebody right behind me.
Or anyone else.
And she, in a very animated way, starts to wave and sort of gets up and starts to wave. I am so thrilled by this that I don't want it not to be me.
Right.
So I wave and I walk away. And I get to believe that she, in fact, remembered me from this 22nd meeting November 3 years ago.
That's the perfect way to handle it. Do not let your dreams get crushed. Walk away before confirmation or denial. Yes.
Exactly. And I met the guy, Joseph Weisberg, who's the creator and the writer and all of that, had a charming talk and wanted. Now, here's what I wanted. This is going to please Liz Clark so much. The end of this story is going to please her so much. They had throw pillows on all of the chairs and divans and couches. Uh-huh. Throw pillows, white pillows, in red lettering, The Americans FX.
Ooh.
I wanted one of those. I felt that I couldn't just snatch one of those. Because I'm who I am.
How big was your coat?
It would be a tough...
Okay.
There's 1,000 people there. Somebody's going to say, hey, who's that bald guy taking the pillows? How many pillows is this clown taking?
Yeah, Kim would come back for round two.
So I would try to get into a car and get out of Dodge. So I wrote Joseph Weisberg the next day, and I said, Joe, it's a great pleasure to meet you. You know how much I love the show. And he had told me that he thought the cameo was so cool, and back and forth and back and forth. And I said, you know, the one thing I really wanted, I didn't think I could just heist it. I wanted one of those pillows. And he wrote me back and he said, every one of those pillows was stolen.
Every one of those was stolen,
and that's all they made, and I can't get you another one.
And that you took the high road.
I did.
And you paid for it.
And I didn't get what I wanted. And you know that I want to get what I wanted. So that's what happened.
Maybe this storytelling is going to convince one of the thieves.
Well, I don't know that they listen to this.
An evildoer?
Yeah.
You need it more than they do.
I actually don't need it at all.
Well, they don't need
it. I just sort of want
emotionally
it.
Nobody need it. And so they mail it with the sweet one designation.
Love
so
the Kerry Russell story.
I hope that thing from Kerry Russell was aimed
at
me.
Well, so the only way story would be better is if you were tapped on the shoulder twice walking out and just never turned around. I just kept going. I didn't want to see who was touching me.
So, but as you remember, for people who remember this, I had met her, and she
outside
thought,
the trailer,
she was like,
right?
She's like, who's this,
who's this guy? Right. And then 10 minutes later, she comes walking out to ask me to take pictures with her because she found out that people in her life thought I was a big deal.
I'm going to choose to believe that she did recognize you.
It's hard to believe, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course
it's
it is. I'm going to choose to believe that truth.
You know? I hope it's true. So that's my...
You made two really interesting choices there in walking away from her.
It would have been devastating.
And a pillow.
Yeah. Devastating if I had to say, do you remember that time when?
Yeah.
It's like, because I get that all the time. Remember at the Super Bowl in 91 and I was on the corner?
Right.
No. I don't actually remember that because it was 30 years ago.
Remember that time you gave me a slice of seeded rye? I was eating chicken wings and drinking a beer?
So great. That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, by the way, you know the guy who plays the younger Russian in the embassy in the Americans?
Oh, he's got a big part in the first episode.
He
comes back to the United States.
Well, he's in Homeland as well. Causing all kinds of trouble this year.
He's a big guy, tall guy, looks
tall.
Yeah,
he looks like a tall guy, yeah.
Oh, whoa, I left something out.
What?
I just hadn't thought about this at all. I just left this out. Who's the guy that I've said repeatedly on the show needs to die? Which character needs to die?
Other than Paige?
No. More so than even than Paige. Pastor Tim.
Oh, Pastor Tim. Oh,
yes. Pastor Tim yes. needs to die.
Absolutely does.
Pastor Tim's
don't
real name.
Don't give away the episode.
No. I don't know if he dies
okay.
or not.
Okay, all right.
He doesn't die. He's not even in episode one. He may have been out last year.
Okay,
I don't
go
know.
Ahead.
I have forgotten. Pastor Tim's name is Kelly O'Coin. A-U-C-O-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly O'Coin. He came up to me. And he said,
"Why do you want me to die?
You want me to die, don't you? No, this is true. This is true. Since you want me to die, don't you? I didn't even recognize him because he doesn't have that hair. That hair is obviously
so
white.
Great.
So, he's, and I go, what? And he goes, I'm Pastor Tim. It gets better.
This is so
I
great.
Grew up in Washington. I went to Georgetown
oh.
Day.
Oh, my God.
I read you in the Post. Yes. It kills me that you want me to die. And I hugged him. I said, I don't want you to die.
Oh, that's great.
I don't
that's
want you to die.
Amazing.
Kelly O'Coin. I didn't
that's
even.
Fantastic.
I had forgotten that till this moment. And we had a nice little chat. He went to Georgetown Day.
That's phenomenal.
How about that? All right, I'm done.
Nice.
I'm Tony
Very
Kornheiser.
That's great.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. Before we get into the mailbag, let's thank Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports for coming on the show. Let's thank today's sponsors, Movement Sunglasses, which I'd love to see, and Brooklinen. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jim McManus in Manhattan Beach, California, and I stumbled over these words yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll try them again. She sells seashells. Mm-hmm. While sitting Shiva by the seashore.
Well
from
done.
Scott Freeland Pasco in Washington. Dear Hoff Waff, as a middle school teacher, I run into many interesting situations. Walking to lunch last week, I noticed one of my students walking next to me carrying her lunchbox. I asked her, what's that design on the lunchbox? She replied, it has planets on it. She paused and added, it has Uranus on it, and that's always funny. That killed me. From Willem Willinga in Salem, Massachusetts,
ooh.
Home of the witches.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of Salem, Massachusetts, I watched a documentary last night on HBO about Arthur Miller. I recommend this. Well,
oh, really?
Not just The Crucible. Arthur Miller's lot, I mean...
But the playwright.
Yeah, the playwright.
The
who wrote the greatest American play of all time. Yes. Which is referred to. Tony Kushner is on the show. And it is referred to. And Mike Nichols is on the show. So it was done a while back because Mike passed away.
Uh-huh.
But they just refer to it as salesman. It's always salesman.
Uh-huh.
It's just great.
Wow.
From Willem Willinga in Salem, Massachusetts. Is it just me, or did the first weekend of the tournament bear an uncanny resemblance to the current White House administration? It's total chaos. Big names are dropping like flies, and there's no discernible leader. Unfortunately, it looks like only one of these will be finished by early April, but we can hope. By the way, I recently finished my doctorate in mathematics education from the University of New Hampshire. That means I'm almost as good at math as Gary. Having finally concluded my formal education, I can now set my sights on achieving Hoff Waff status. Only then will I be able to announce to the world Eden. Again, Hoff Waff, the hard part is the Waff.
Yes.
The Hoff is the easy part. That's Hall of Fame.
Right.
Wall of Fame.
Yes.
That there aren't that many walls of fame. It's the Waff.
Yeah, Hoff Waff.
That's the important thing. From Matt in Havana, Illinois. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, my ears perked up during yesterday's show when Leon said that his son didn't sleep through the night until he was 8 years old, and then it was only because they accidentally overdosed him on Tylenol.
Right?
My son is only 3 years old, and he doesn't sleep through the night either, but worse than that, he'll get off the bed more than 50 times before going to sleep. I considered going full redneck and duct taping him to his bed, but then considered that Tori would have an issue with that. Last night, though, we kept him on his bed and he slept through the night. We didn't overdose him like Leon. Instead, we received a package with bubble wrap in it that day, and our son wanted to play with the bubble wrap. We told him he could play with it in the morning if he stayed on his bed. He didn't get off one time. Knocked out in 30 minutes. My first thought was, send me a big box of that. My second thought was, I hope this email gives Michael nightmares about what is coming with little boy Bootsy. If Tori has any other ideas about how to keep a child as stubborn, as obstinate as I am on his bed, I will shut up.
Well, I don't know about 3-year-olds, but I know when Spike and Ike were little, I would just put a screen door on top of the crib and load it up with cinder blocks.
And that's how it would be.
Yeah, it can get air.
And okay, here's the story from the Zarro's Bread. It's from Tony Campos. Brooklyn, New York via London and West Allis, Wisconsin, or as you know it, the speed skating capital of the USA. Please accept this tribute from Zarrow's Bakery as a token of my appreciation to you and the whole gang for more than 10 years' worth of Laura Littledom. I'm a jazz-loving apple slicer who hates golf, but the show still holds a special place in my heart. Maybe it's because I, too, am an only child named Tony with a self-centric view of the world. I finally had enough time on a recent work trip to our nation's capital to spend an evening away from my two-bathroom situation hotel and come to chatter. I hope you enjoy the rye bread, and please save the black and white cookie for Saliza, so he knows that not everyone wants to watch him fall down an escalator. I doubt my bracket submission.
Some would like to see him push.
One shining David Aldridge moment will finish top 10 this year, so this email may be my only chance for a shout-out. Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
From John, Virginia Tech, class of 2011, Dr. Hoff Woff. Last week, Mike from Burke, Virginia, was so chesty, exclaiming how you had overlooked UVA and how UVA was the greatest team in America. Has anyone checked to see if Mike died Friday night from choking on his own words? I took a smug satisfaction watching the boo-hoos blow it against UMBC and knowing that Mike and all the other hoos in Whoville were crying into their vineyard vine ties as they drowned their sorrows in box wine. Tell Mike to eat it. Mike will be back with us tomorrow with something.
Mike's more of a craft beer kind of guy.
From Elin Kopecki in Lafayette, California. Dear Hoff Woff, days 2 to 5 of a new job bring me to D.C. this week and prompt 3 questions. Would you like your mail picked up post my consumption of chicken parm at the Palm on Tuesday night? Can I have Wilbon's chili on my omelet on Friday morning? Can you please have a Friday podcast so I can shake the great one's hand? Yours, not Gretzky. And what time do I have to leave chatter for noon flight out of Dulles? I'm sitting in 1B, purportedly next to Wilbon in 1A, so security should go quick. Noon flight, probably leave 10:15, something like that. Probably get there by 11 at that point.
Yeah. Are you pre-check?
I'd leave earlier.
Yeah, leave a little bit earlier. If you're out in goodbye time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Thank you, Mr. Tony.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
boxed in, closed off, strong and independent, but no love at all. She's ever ending now, living day by day, just trying to reach the end of a long, doorless hall.
All the woman could not see
was buried down deep inside of me.
Even though I knew that I held the key,
was too afraid to use it and set her free. Trying to find the words that would make her see that I was a very messy
and sad
alone in my own head. When I'd rather be there with her instead, so I said, ain't urgent, but eventual. Now can I find a fit into her schedule? Can I try to find a way to break down those walls?
But all that the woman could not see
was buried down deep inside of me.
Hoping for a love that'll set us free.
Never made it a reality. I guess it's on me to make the first move, but never trying to. I don't know.